Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today it's an honor. I have a pleasure of introducing a very special guest to the show, Ron Wally. He is a successful business owner, real estate investor. He's a mentor, a self-made millionaire who follows his own code, the Wally way. And we're going to hear all about it today. He is a proud father and dedicated husband, making his home out in Colorado and refuses to accept circumstances as they are. He believes he makes things happen. And so today I want to be able to bring him on the show and have him tell us about his journey, his path, and of course, some of the tips to being a successful business owner as well. Ron, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And this should be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hearing about your podcast, Sons of Ditches. And I know you have a lot of nuggets. So go ahead and give us a little brief bio about your journey here thus far.
Yeah. So, you know, I recently wrote a book about my life story and how I got to where I'm at now. You know, it's in the book I write about. In fact, the first chapter is me laying in a ditch after my second rollover car accident in a year. And each time I was pitched from the car, and this time I just happened to be in the middle of a ditch in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. And lo and behold, I was saved by somebody that just happened to be going by. So, and at that point in time in my life, that was the absolute pinnacle of my addictions, the peak of everything I had done wrong in life. I was 30 years old and I was homeless. I hadn't seen my children in 6 months and it was eating me up every single day. And in order to keep those feelings down and my loserness at bay, I would just drink and drink and drink and do drugs and womanize. And, you know, at one point in my life, I was making six figures a year as an alcoholic. And boy, that was like adding fire to brush. And it took me maybe 4 or 5 years to really bring down what I had grown in my life at that time. And I went from six figures a year to $0 a year. I had a $1,000 a week cocaine habit and my alcohol habit was, in fact, I had to wake up in the middle of the night and drink to keep the shakes down. So that's where the book kind of takes off and where I kind of made a choice in my life that it was time to be a father. It was time to make some changes and get sober. First of all, that was the only thing I knew I could do. I knew that the second car rollover accident, I didn't die again. And I thought, well, God's got bigger plans for me. What am I going to do with this opportunity? And the only thing I could think was to race back home, find a place to stay and get sober. And at that point, I didn't have any aspirations of career or you know, what I was going to do with my life to make money. I was more concerned about how was I going to see my children again? How was I going to be a father to them? What I realized in that moment laying in the ditch is that I became my own father who had taught me to be exactly where I was at. Mm. He himself died at 43 years old. He taught me how to drink, how to drug, how to be a womanizer, and really just a lack of respect for all humans on earth. I had wandered down the same exact path, and I felt sorry for my children in that moment that they were not going to grow up with a good father either. So that's when I made my change, and I came back to Colorado, got into some AA meetings, started turning my life around, one thing at a time. I started out with a job, and I started working my butt off every day. That kept me busy. I didn't drink. I didn't drug. I got away from the people I was involved with, and that quickly led to that's who I am. I'm an entrepreneur in spirit and mind, and you know, that got me back into doing my own business, led me into a couple more businesses. And pretty soon I was married to a cop, a millionaire, and life is headed in the right direction again.
Yeah.
That's the short of it.
It's fascinating how the beliefs that our parents instill in us, like, stays with us and kind of drives our direction, right?
Yes. I call them tapes. And those old tapes run over and over in our heads forever. You can't really keep them from running. What you can change is the way we think about them. And we get to choose whether or not those old tapes drive our today or not.
Yeah, the programming. The only way you can scratch a tape is to actually just replace it, right?
Yep.
You can't try to keep the same programming and trying to be a different person, trying to be a different man. You call them tapes. I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts that we learn as we were growing up. And it's a matter of changing the meaning that we attach to them. I think, and a lot of people struggle with that, not knowing how to do that very well. How was the process for you to do that yourself?
Well, so I had to figure out, so everybody kept telling me that alcoholism was a symptom of something that was wrong in my life. And I already knew that my dad's, the way he lived and what he had taught me led him to an early death. So I knew all this was going on. I just couldn't stop it. I didn't want to stop. I didn't have the strength to stop it. Once I had enough of a why in my life, a reason to stop, which ultimately was my children, then it was a matter of, it was in my head that, okay, now I've got to change something. And I just started seeking help. And one piece of help, actually, the counselor that ended up helping me, I went to counseling for 5 years straight. One time, well, I started out at two or three times a week, and then I ended up at one time a week, and then basically graduated from her. And now she's a really good friend of mine. But I met her through sort of a couples counseling. A girl wanted to break up with me, and she took me into counseling to break up with me. And the counselor was so fascinated by my story that she wanted to work with me. And that, you know, God works in mysterious ways, that led me down that path. And I quickly found it seemed cliche and it seemed silly to go through my past and try and figure out what was bothering me. And I didn't want to live in my past. I wanted to go forward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, understandably, I had to figure out why I had all these train wrecks throughout my life, all these car accidents throughout my life that were causing me to pause and change every time something big was coming up. If I had a positive something in my life, I would go and I would ruin it because I didn't feel that I could accept it. I didn't feel worthy of it. And she taught me how to feel worthy. You know, I think that was the biggest thing, was to be okay with good things in life. And ultimately, you just stack those on top of each other.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the best way to do it. So tell us about productivity. And, you know, you're coming from a place where you struggled quite a bit, but now you're thriving, right? Now you have a purpose-driven business. Tell us about that transition and how can we ourselves embody that?
Yeah. So, you know, I struggled with businesses in general right at the beginning. I started a business, a bail bonds business, and I did fine with it, but it didn't mean much to me. It was just a form of making money. And when I started to realize that I was one of my clients, that I cared about the people, and once they started to realize that I cared about them, business started to grow. And I sort of transformed that into every other business from there on out. What had happened is that I kind of became purposeless about 8 years into my sobriety. And I was running these businesses, but they really didn't mean much. It was just a way of making money. And I met a gentleman named Jim Hensel, who owns Mayhem Mindset. And he sat me down and we started talking about having values in your life and a code of honor and a way to react to people out there according to your own values. And that's where we came up with the Worley Way. That's 10 values that I run my family, I run my life, I run my businesses with it. And as soon as I started doing that and I put them on paper and I started advertising through my businesses with them, as soon as I started sharing my story with others and became vulnerable to my customers became vulnerable to me and we connected. And in that moment, we started to see lifelong customers in our businesses and we started to make connections with our community and we started to see a whole lot more money come through the door. And all it was just being real with who I was and what our company was about through these 10 values that I, of course, talk about in my book. That was the new purpose in life. It wasn't to make money because I believe money comes with a good soul, a good heart in any situation. You know, you can't be money driven because that doesn't last long. You see that through various different companies. People come and go and they make a lot of money and then their business fails. And that's not my goal. My goal was to have something to hand down to my kids, have something to pass on to other people and to keep the business going for my customers, which ultimately is what happened. So currently I still own, I just opened a new business this year. And of course, that's the first thing we did was we sat down and did some, made some values for our company. And that gets us a purpose going forward from here on out. And it got me and my partners on the same page with those values. So our company's headed in the right direction right off the bat. Mm. Yeah. And so currently I own four businesses, technically, plus a book.
You are a serial entrepreneur.
I just get bored. That's the honesty of it. I get bored. So I try to start things and then hire professionals to run them and then just sort of work the outline, you know, in the community to promote them. That's my fun part.
For the Worley Way, now you use that for every business. Tell us a few of the codes.
Yeah. So my favorite three is family, hard work, and trust. And those I try to bestow in every company we do. And the family part, that's important to me. Family has always been important to my entire life, even though we were not a great family. It was important to me to have a family. And once I understood that I had what my family was what I made it. And if people don't get on board with that, that's okay. They're just not a part of your family. And that family wasn't just blood. Family can be anybody that follows your same values, anybody that wants to be on board with you. I was able to start inviting others to my quotation marks family. And that became, you know, a work family, an at-home family, and in the community family. And what we found with our businesses, and this is something that will help any business owner, if you treat your business like a family, people tend to work harder, work longer, and for less money for you, which is huge when you're trying to start up a new business. You can't afford those big fancy salaries to pay people. So we were able to use shoestring budgets, a lot of our businesses to get started because our salaries were bloated. We gave people power rather than money up front. And that sort of brought us in the more money so that we could pay them a little bit more as we went along. And of course, they stuck around. Now, of course, hard work, that is ingrained in all of my children, all of my employees. My wife and I, we work for fun, we work nonstop every day from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. In fact, we have had to go to counseling and talk about how to just have a normal relationship without talking about work, which I thought was a unique, fun, different approach to our relationship because we have been together 15 years and we've always owned businesses together. And then, of course, trustworthy, that's the big one, right? We all have... Nobody's going to come through your doors and nobody's going to be attracted to you if you're a big fat liar. That was something that I had to change in my life. And so it's still very important in my life.
Yeah, that's great. Keeping the chemistry, the relationship alive. And I love that notion of family. creating family relationships within the business, the organization, because you get more buy-in from your employees, from your contractors, or from anyone that you are affiliated with in terms of your business, because then they know your vision. They can run with your vision.
That's right. And if you give them the power to do so, you'll see a lot of remarkable people come up with some remarkable ideas. And, you know, at that point, it's just a matter of execution, which execution is probably the hardest thing to do in business alone. How do you get from point A, from an idea, to point Z, where you're making money off of that idea? That a lot of my employees have had most of the ideas that we run with today. It's just a matter of executing them. And I sort of just coach them along in that aspect. So it becomes their baby, their idea. They take it from scratch to implementation into the business. And it just gives them that power. We try not to overpromise either. I mean, that's the big thing that my father used to do to me, was tell me he was going to do something and then never do it. So the only thing I can promise to my employees and to my family is that we're going to work our butts off trying.
Yeah, I can actually relate to that. I have an amazing team. It's because I empower them. I tell them, I just like Steve Jobs says, right? I hire smart people, so I don't tell them what to do, so they can tell me what to do. And yeah. They feel super empowered, and they come up with ideas, and then we execute it. We test them out, but it's because they have that sense of autonomy. And it's crucial. So with you having to get to have the freedom to build multiple businesses and still be a champion at home, you have to have really good delegation skills. Tell us about that process for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I learned early on that I do get bored. I don't like the daily grind. I don't like to sit in there and do one transaction at a time. For instance, I'm a real estate investor / real estate agent. I do quite a few transactions to sell people and help people buy homes. That does happen. I do about 20 deals a year, but that is not what I do for a living. That is something I do to help out the people in my community. What I really like to do is the bigger picture stuff, development, spec homes, things like that. And so, you know, I wasn't even 6 months in the business, and I was already trying to figure out a different way to make real estate work for me. And what I found out was that my wife really loved the transaction part. She really loves dealing with people. And so I instantly said, here, you can deal with all these and I'll work on the bigger picture stuff. And it seemed to work out for us. She's doing 70 deals a year and I'm doing the bigger picture stuff. The delegation part of that is something that I personally look for the first person I can hand something off to. I want to teach it to them and then have them run it, and then I'll just coach them. Ultimately, this started out is because I've been a bail bondsman for 25 years. It's been my mainstay of cash flow. And I've always got to be available to be able to go write a bond because I'm on call 24/7. And so I couldn't be locked down to a 1 hour, 2 hour, 5 hour situation in a business where I couldn't move and go write a bond. So I would instantly find somebody that would work the second business for me while I was able to coach them via the phone or a small meeting in between, which just ultimately started to work because, you know, I'm looking for professionals to do a better job than I could do. I recognize my weaknesses. I'm not really focused on the small, tedious tasks, and I can't do it. It takes a special person to sit in my office all day and do that kind of thing. That is something I cannot do. But I have two assistants that are extremely professional. They're really good at their jobs. I pay them well, and I expect them to perform for me. And also what I realized through our Max Muscle stores, we had four chain stores that were quite successful. And what I realized is that when somebody said, your store is doing great, I used to push it off and say, oh, I didn't do anything. My employees do this. But I was getting all the credit for it. Well, I wasn't running those stores, so I couldn't accept that I was responsible for the success of them. But I started to realize that actually what I distilled and the values that we put into the company were making the company drive in a certain direction, that all I had to do was plug in different people and it would work. We would buy businesses that were failing, put our systems in their place. We would buy them super cheap, put our systems in place, put the people that we hire in place, and they would automatically be successful almost overnight within, you know, a couple of months. which led me to understand that this is a team aspect and I need lots of people underneath of me that do their jobs well, but they also needed me to drive them and show them the path, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tell us about how do you prime yourself to do that? How do you get up, dress up, and show up? Tell us about your morning routine.
My morning routine, it's always the same. And this morning it was a little bit off. I set alarms, but I don't try to wake up too early. I do work late. We work until 1-2 in the morning usually. So every morning I wake up, I take my supplements, have a regimen that I take for my health and for my day, what I call breakfast. And the first thing I do is check all my messages and make sure I'm in my calendar to make sure I'm on track for the day, get that all set in my head. And then I'm off to the gym and getting my physical being set first. So the first project I have of every day, except for today, is I go right to the gym and get an hour workout in, which sort of sets my whole day off for me. Mm-hmm. I actually feel really good. I believe that the physical being is what drives the mental well-being.
100%. We are a body of energy. We got to move.
Yes. Someone taught me mind, body, spirit right when I got sober. And I started working out to keep my mind off of drinking and whatnot. And I sort of got it. It was a new addiction for me, but it was a healthy one. And, you know, recently, about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I suffered massive heart failure and actually died while working. And that sort of changed my direction of how I was working out, what was important to me as far as my physical. All of a sudden, I wasn't allowed to work out. And my mind also wasn't working out because I was laying around feeling sorry for myself for a couple of years, trying to figure out how I was going to live without this identity of my physical being. You know, it's funny, as soon as I figured out that I was also a smart person that could just live off of love and care and hard work, the working out part came back and I was able to go back to the gym. I almost healed entirely. And I sought out some alternative medicines that have just helped me completely. And those are the supplements I take every morning along with my medical pills. But ultimately, that gym has saved my life once again. And that just sets my whole day for going. You know, you work hard first thing when you wake up in the morning, and it makes the rest of your day
a lot easier.
That.
Yep. You have more energy because of it. It's amazing.
It's true. And, you know, honestly, I'm a friggin' clown the first thing in the morning. I'm full of energy and my wife almost can't handle it. I'm singing in the shower. I'm happy to be alive, you know? So, and without that, I just don't know how my day would continue. You know, I try not to start off the day in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Period.
Then, yeah, no, I am 100% agreement with you with the routine. It has to be done first. So you prime yourself. You're ready for whatever the day is going to throw at you.
Yep.
Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's called ronworley.com. That's W-O-R-L-E-Y, ronworley.com. And all of my channels on there are available in the book, my podcast, etc. There, you can even subscribe and you get some really cool Zoom backgrounds, Skype backgrounds, things like that if you want. They're all free of charge and anybody's welcome to get on there and drop me a line. I also do a lot of mentoring younger folks that are kind of looking for direction. Those make me very happy and kind of make me feel like I'm giving back to people. So if anybody needs some help or some mentoring, I'm always available for that on my website.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing with us today and coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.